Donna Karan introduced her game-changing 7 Easy Pieces fashion collection in 1985. Never lost sight of her life goal to empower women. In her new book, My Journey, she interweaves the story of her incredible career with her challenges as a young woman, a wife, and mother, straddling the personal and the professional. Again, the title of the new book is My Journey. It's a great pleasure to welcome Donna Karan to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Very nice to have you. At what point did you know that you wanted to write your story and share it?
I was just thinking at the point that, you know, I've come to in my life where I wanted to reflect back on my life and put it all down in paper before I forget.
Are you getting at that stage where you're starting to forget things you don't want to?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Sometimes, you know, I forget a few people's names.
So when you take on a project like this, is there a goal? Is there something that you want to accomplish in telling your story about, as the title suggests, your journey?
Well, I wanted people to realize that, you know, there's a vision that people have of Donna Karan. She's a certain kind of person. And most people would say to me, "You're Donna Karan?" And I said, "I'm sorry to disappoint you. Yeah, I am." You know, and that my journey is the same as practically everybody else's. Perhaps, you know, mine has taken one road, another person takes another. But we all have life's journeys of birth and death that we go through in our lives. And I certainly had my share of it. And I wanted people to see the real side of me, of what my life was all about, not only as a fashion designer, but as a person.
At what point in your life, and you talk about this in the book, when you started to think that this could be your life, that this could be your profession of what you wanted to do and accomplish?
Well, I was born into fashion. My mother was in fashion, my father was in fashion, and it seemed that I was born on 7th Avenue, and I think the last thing I wanted to do was to be in fashion. So then what happened is I applied for school. I wanted to be an illustrator. Actually, at first I wanted to be a dancer, and I wanted to be a singer. I wanted to sing like Barbra Streisand, dance like Martha Graham, but I was not good enough to be either one of those. But I wanted to be an illustrator, and I went to Women's Wear Daily for an illustration job, and they suggested that I look into fashion, and I went to Parsons School of Design. And for a summer job, got a job at Anne Klein. When I was a young girl, I worked in a clothing store, dressing people. And I realized that I definitely had a knack for looking at a person and seeing what would work for them and what wouldn't work for them and how to kind of put a wardrobe together. So I went to work for Anne, and I loved, you know, the designing aspect of it. It was great, but I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. And when I got pregnant with my daughter, I decided, you know, I was going to stay home and be a mom. And then, unfortunately, at that time, Anne Klein has cancer. I hadn't known it at the time. And we had a collection due. So there I was in the hospital waiting to have my baby. And I got a call right after Gabby was born. And they said, "When are you coming back to work?" And I said, "You know, would you like to know whether I had a boy or a girl?" I had a little girl, and they said, "I know, but we have a collection due, so, you know, we've got to get you back to work." So I couldn't get back to work that quickly. They brought the entire collection to my home, and I thought, oh, great, they come to see my baby, and that was great. And then a phone call came in, and then Anne Klein just passed away, and we had a collection due the next day. So the rest is history. I had to, you know, just get back onto the seat again and back into the design room finishing a collection.
In working in that environment without this woman who was your mentor, it obviously launched your career, but what was it like to take that over? And because there's a point where you're still working in her image to the point where you could become your own person, your own designer?
Well, thank you for asking that question. You know, it really is interesting. As a woman, I design for myself, and I understand my body and the complications that it is for women out there. You know, what are they going to wear? How are they going to wear it? And Anne and I had two very different bodies, and I found that, you know, soon I was designing for myself and realizing, you know, there was definitely a customer out there who was resonating with that.
What do you think they were resonating? I mean, I guess this is a question you probably ask yourself all the time, of what they're resonating with, what it is about you, what it is about the fashion.
I think what I did was give a woman strength and sensuality, and realizing that she works from day into evening, particularly for the working woman who's constantly on the go. I wanted her to be comfortable yet sensual at the same time, and be able to take it from work to out to dinner or to the weekends where she was hanging out and doing, you know, being with her family. And that it was living my life.
When you think of what you have created with your collection and with your line and becoming who you have become, is that constantly a struggle for you, or do you ever reach a point where you are comfortable?
I don't, you know, I think the thing about designing is it's a double-edged sword. The part is, you know, every time that show comes on, you think, you know, are they going to like it, or is it going to be good enough, you know, or what's everybody else doing out there? Because it's a competitive field of fashion, no question. Yet, at the same time, I have a very defined point of view about fashion and what I like and what I don't like. And yes, there's the insecurities because you do get the reviews.
You talk in the book about giving voice to yourself. And as you say, over the years, I've come to realize that I've willingly gave away my identity. How so, and how have you been working on bringing it and getting it back?
Well, I think the question is, when you say loss of the identity, it was a question of saying, you know, every place there was the name Donna Karen, and I would open people's mail that was addressed to Donna Karen, but it was addressed to Donna Karen, the company, not Donna Karen, the person. So I would open everybody's mail.
Right.
And I realized that it doesn't belong to me. So I realized that I had a name that was larger than myself, even though it was my name. It was sort of like a giveaway of a name. And then you find, you know, where is that truth within yourself and who you are and what place do you belong in? And it was as a designer, as a creator, as a mother, you know, as a grandmother, and a philanthropist, you know, somebody who really did want to make a difference in this world, not only dressing people, but addressing them. And that's why I started Urban Zen.
Talk a little bit about Urban Zen and what you've been able to accomplish with that.
Well, Urban Zen is sort of my passion. It's my mission to both dress and address the customer at large, realizing that each and every one of us is a patient, each and every one of us is a loved one, and I realized there was something missing in the healthcare system. So I called a 10-day seminar together with all healthcare practitioners and patients and loved ones, and really talking about what was missing in healthcare. Pardon me. And what I realized what was missing was where is the care in healthcare? You know, we have disease care, we have great doctors, and we have great nurses. But at the same time, you know, who was taking care of the patient? So we started to create the Urban Zen Integrative Therapist, and that was somebody who would work with the patient, the doctor and the nurse, and take care of the patient. And we did a clinical test study and found out that we saved close to $1 million on one floor of a hospital. The other thing I'm very involved with is preservation of culture and the area of Haiti. And when the Haiti earthquake occurred, I went into there and I realized how many brilliant artisanal artists are there. And it was through the Clinton Global Initiative that really brought me there. And I work with artists and create product, and they're available at Urban Zen, which is really quite exciting. So it's both philanthropy and commerce, you know, put together, that I'm not only dressing people, but I'm addressing them and the needs.
You do write in the book, "Where does my story go from here? I wish I could tell you I have it all mapped out, but I don't. I'm nervous and confused, but excited." I assume you're also confident, though.
You know, it's like every collection, I don't know where it's going to go. If somebody says to me, "Well, what are you doing this season?" I said, "You'll find out on the runway until the time, you know,
right,
happens." And I think that's the way life is also. You know, we're on a journey, and we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Did we ever know September 11th was going to happen? I mean, that's how my book starts. You know, I was in a state of shock. There I had the day of a show, and September 11th happened. So I don't think, you know, I think the picture is much larger than all of that. And I kind of go with the flow.
And are there any aspects of what you're doing now that you will miss?
You know, all the people that I work with at Donna Karen, you know, they really mean a lot to me. And, you know, we're still friends. And hopefully we'll continue to be friends and, you know, charter the seas together.
The name of the book is My Journey. It is published by Ballantine Books. Donna Karen, a great pleasure. Thank you very much for sharing with us this morning.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Again, the title of the book is My Journey by Donna Karen, published by Ballantine. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.